What she said about Tucson, it's all true. I lost Noah. Oh, okay. I think you guys get a little break after me, so just bear with me, okay? I wanted to say thanks to Noah also for putting this together. He's been working his ass off. This first piece I'm going to read is called My Father's Stories. Story. Dear daughter, Merry Christmas. Love Dad, Annie, and Teddy Bear. Truth. My father's wife named their dog Teddy Bear and collects stuffed animals. She puts the wounded ones on top of the microwave when Teddy Bear pulls off little ears and tails. My father doesn't seem to notice the microwave hospital. He picks up stuffed rabbits and cats to make room for us to sit on the couch and throws them to Teddy Bear. Story. I've got these boys living in my house and they keep messing up the place. I've got to get some ground rules with these boys. Truth. My father lives in the middle third of a triplex in a poor neighborhood. He can't afford the rent on his pension, so he takes in boarders to cover costs. The two 20-year-old boys living there have a dachshund. The dachshund wears a swastika collar. My father lives with dog food scattered all across the kitchen floor all of the time. My father's dog is overweight, and so is his wife. The dachshund with the swastika is pretty fit. Story. Did you see my family portraits? Truth. His walls are decorated with palm leaf crosses and photographs. Cross, frozen little girl, cross, frozen little girl, cross. The portraits are mass-produced Christmas cards taped to the wall. He is not in any of the portraits. Story. I don't know why I'm still alive, just to drink and have a good time, I think. Truth. My father used to have curly blonde hair, bright blue eyes, and killer shoulders. Now, he's a shrunken man. His hair is short and gray. His nose is bulbous and red. Story. These two niggers walk into a bar. Truth. My father tells jokes. The raunchy ones are very funny, but no one laughs at his racist jokes. At the restaurant, the manager is a black man. My father glows under his customer service and then tells more jokes. I am tempted to tell jokes about old, wrinkled, drunk ex-cops with fat wives that have nothing of consequence in their lives. But I can't think of a punchline. Thanks. Story. I love you. Truth. You don't know me well enough to love me. You have a biological pull in my direction. Story. I went to Vietnam and trained the insurgents. You have no idea what atrocities I've seen. Truth, you did not go to Vietnam. Story. I went to Alabama when your sister got sick to help take care of her. Truth. You went to Alabama 2 years before my sister got cancer, promising that you were sober. You got off that train with a half-empty bottle of Jack Daniels in your hand. Story. I never had to shoot anybody when I was a cop. Truth. Dad, when you were drunk and I was 2 years old, you tried to shoot me with your service revolver. You tried to shoot my sister. You tried to shoot my mother. I wonder who else you tried to shoot and just missed. Story. I can't wait to see you again soon. Truth. You might die before you have another chance to see me. Story. Come stand out on my porch and take some family portraits in front of my beautiful mountains. Truth. I would rather take pictures of your home while you're not looking, of the pile of dog poop on your rug, of the bowed and cracked wooden floors, of the smoke from your Marlboro Reds filling the room, of the open pasta boxes on the counter. of the cheap beer in your refrigerator, of your wife's large forehead, of the dead plants on your back porch, of your fake Christmas tree covered in tinsel, of the hills covered in electrical towers that you call mountains, of the series of portraits of my sisters and I between those crosses. Click and record. Click and record the truth, the true stories of my father. Okay. You guys want something a little lighter? Okay. This piece is kind of old, but I've always wanted to read it in New York, so thanks for giving me this opportunity. It's called Whoosh Whoosh. Sorry, Mom. I gave someone my virginity in my waterbed in the dark with three other people in the room listening to the telling, whoosh, whoosh. Michelle, my fat crackhead friend, she mourned for me. My little virgin, she said. And what's his name, friend, said, well, not anymore. What's his name? He gave me a foot massage after, which felt better than his thrusting into my torn flesh. We used a condom. I always did then. Phil, Nick, Will, he was beautiful. Black and Puerto Rican, bald, hard-bodied, older, 19. Louis. In fact, he hated Lou. The second and last time he crawled through my bedroom window with his friend after driving an hour downstate, I told him he had to fuck me on the floor so his friend wouldn't hear the telling, whoosh, whoosh. While he fucked me, he yelled to his friend across the room, representing the boogie down. He lived in Yorktown. All I could think to say was, you live upstate, poser. That's why I wanted to read it in New York. Okay. Thank you for that. It was very cathartic. Okay, so I'm going to read two more short pieces, and these are actually in the current issue of Trick House. They're from a chapbook called The Whole Family, which it might be turn into something bigger than a chapbook. I'm not really sure yet. But there's different characters that are named in each of the pieces that are explored in the other pieces. So they're just kind of, you'll hear a lot of people named, but you won't really get to know about them unless you go to trickhouse.org. This one's called Sprite. Sprite is not a little girl anymore. She is 10 and was saved 2 weeks ago in her best friend's church. The Holy Spirit came to her, a visitor in the congregation, before he ever entered her best friend. She was sitting in a pew while her best friend's family stood waving their arms and crying. She felt a bright white force reach down and pull her up to stand on the pew. She sobbed and waved her arms, and the Holy Spirit spoke through her, Ala bala, ala bala, wala kama, prima lala, and then she passed out. When Sprite woke, the preacher stood over her with her best friend. Young lady, do you accept Jesus Christ, the Son of our one true God, into your heart as your personal Savior? She thought, I'm a young lady. She tried hard to remember if she ever met Jesus. Yes, she squeaked. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We know you, Father, and thank you, the preacher cried. Her best friend's family petted Sprite's head and took her out for crab cakes and shrimp cocktail after church, but her best friend wouldn't talk to her. She said, I can't be your best friend anymore. All week at school, her former best friend hung out with other girls who all snickered behind their hands when Sprite walked by. But that Sunday at church, the Holy Spirit spoke through her former best friend, Ala bala, wala kama, prima lala, and thank you, Jesus. They could be friends again. Sprite told Blanket all about her experience at church, about the Holy Spirit, about her new friend Jesus, about the dramatic circumstances that had almost ended her friendship, and about how she was not a young lady, how she was now a young lady. Blanket told Sprite that she couldn't go to church anymore, and when the Holy Spirit tried to speak through Sprite again in Blanket's kitchen, it only got as far as alabala, alabala, before Blanket splashed him out of Sprite with a cold glass of water right in the face. Sprite got very, very angry and yelled, you can't get between me and Jesus. I'm not a little girl anymore. Sprite ran into her room to talk to Jesus for a while. When he didn't answer, she got bored and ran outside to play checkers with Harold in the Airstream. Okay, last one. Thanks. This one's called Addict. Addict would rather stay in her dreams than wake up. In her dreams, there is an element of control and joy. In her dreams, there is a lover. He loves her, really loves her. He is beautiful, trim, smart, passionate, funny. They tickle and roll around in a nest of sex. In her dreams, Addict never has to say goodbye. Some days, Blanket walks into Addict's dark bedroom. She places a mug of coffee on her bedside table, kisses her forehead, and closes the door softly on her way out. In Addict's dreams, there is no reason to eat. Her stomach shrinks. Her body is the right size, and that size is small. There's no cream instead of skim milk to put in her coffee. There's no cheese to cut into two big pieces. There's no oil in which to drench healthy vegetables. There's no bread. Her thighs don't shake. There are no stretch marks behind her knees. No jiggly arms to not wave with. She stays empty and in control and without hunger. Some days, Sprite walks into Addict's bedroom, curls up beside her, and whispers a Hail Mary into her ear. Once, Sprite pressed a small St. Christopher medallion into Addict's palm, wished her safe travels, and closed the door softly on her way out. Addict does not dream in wine, beer, or tequila. There is no haze that clouds her eyes. Her nose doesn't ever go numb. She doesn't ever stand up and fall back down. She doesn't ever find herself mixing tears and vomit in the toilet. Some days, a man is in her bedroom, nameless and always in the process of leaving. He finds his clothes while she pretends to sleep and ignores the smell of stale beer and smoke filling her room and her sheets. He winces as he trips and closes the door softly on his way out. Some days, Harold walks into Addict's bedroom after knocking. She says, "Come in," and sits up with her hair a mess. They don't talk about other members of the whole family, and neither of them follows particular sports teams. They sit and smoke a few of his cigarettes with the windows and the doors closed. After two of three, he says, "Thank you," and she says, "Thank you." On these days, Addict cries herself back to dreaming. Thank you. Thanks. So we're going to take a 5-minute break, and when we come back in 5 minutes, I will introduce Jesus.